With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. It's Sam and Greg, 6 a.m. to 10 every Sunday morning. Tell everybody to also check us out on the Radio.com app and all your devices, including smart speakers. And that music means it's time for some fun. We haven't had this kind of fun this morning, Mr. Crenshaw. And if you're just joining us,
We have had fun.
This is our five-second game. You guys know the game. It's well-known, but it's something that we can do. You guys can try it and play along with us while you're in your car, you're at home, or whatever you're doing. Just ask Mr. Crenshaw three questions. I ask him one question. He's got 5 seconds to give me three answers. He's got to name me three answers in 5 seconds to the topic I am going to present to him. Mr. Crenshaw, are you ready?
Yes.
All right, I need you to name me three items in a kindergartner's backpack. Name me three items in a kindergartner's backpack. Go.
Crayons, erasers, pencils.
There you go. You did such a great job, we're going to give you one more. You ready?
All right.
Name me three engine, yes. Name three engine parts. Three engine parts. Go. Doggone, you whiffed, man. On that one.
Yeah.
Right, you won for one.
Spark plugs.
One? Yeah, it was a little late there. We moved on. All right, I'll give you one more.
Give me
three types of planes. Three types of planes. Go.
Jet, propeller, glider.
2.5, I'll give you that one. But anyway, it's a 5-second game. So we appreciate y'all. I'm sure people are yelling at the radio going, I got that. Come on, Sam. Get you. One point, you're going to be driving down the road and you're going to see a Target. You're going to pull in there. They may have them somewhere else. And you're going to say, I'm going to get this game so I can stump Greg. Because I feel like, you know, it's a one-way street here. I want you to get the game and write it off. It's only, you know, less than $20.
Okay.
Get it there.
All right.
Also, if you're just joining us, one of the things that we have been doing throughout the show, along with the virus and how it's affecting all these many sports, is... you brought up, what was it earlier? We were talking about the money that is now coming to NASCAR because of Bubba Wallace. And before we get into baseball, as we ended that, I was trying to think of another person, and I brought up Manoel Raym. I went back. Jahi and I, during the break, were talking about Tiger and the money that came that way. I don't know if that's equal to what we're talking about with Bubba Wallace, because we kind of knew Tiger for a while.
Well, I think right. with Tiger, you brought some extra eyes. You brought some extra eyes, and when people see you bringing extra eyes to the table, sponsors, you see that. So, I mean, yeah, obviously there's some sponsors that came on during Tiger's heyday because they saw that he was bringing
a different
set of eyes than normally.
But the Bubba one is specific.
But he's attracting people. Yeah.
Right. Bubba one is specific to his background and what he's gone through and all of that. And of course, he's a great driver, too. But the one that I had that slipped through the cracks that I didn't think about was equal because of his nationality when he came to the NBA was Yao Ming.
Oh, my goodness.
You know what I'm saying? How do we forget that one? And before that, Hideki Nomo, who beat Chipper out for the Rookie of the Year. But Yao Ming, I mean, he reset everything as far as dollars that didn't come to the NBA. But then when he got there, it just opened the floodgates.
Yeah. But, that's all part of the result from the Dream Team. you know, and the fact that the game really went international and you saw this influx of international players come to play in the NBA after the Olympics as a result of the Olympics in 92. So, and that still continues today. You know, some great players that are coming from other countries. And when you do that, you can market worldwide.
Second greatest leadoff hitter of all time. And you heard me say it here. Ichiro Suzuki. And I bring that up because I want to get back to talking a little bit of baseball. And I wish I could see him play some more. I really do. Again, taking another player from the Asian continent, Hideki Nomo, what he did that rookie year and beating out Chipper Jones. I think Chipper got ripped off, but what are you going to do? But as we stay in baseball, we have talked to Joe Patrick. You and I have talked about this. But I heard the best analogy describing what baseball is going through right now by not Tim Kirchen. It was Buster Olney. He said if baseball was a boxer, they've been taking body blow after body blow this last week. And yet, still standing, but they're on a standing eight count, though, it looks like.
You don't like that one? I would say that I don't like it. But true it may be. I don't like that analogy, but it is true. When you have half of a team go out, and then you got the Cardinals, and hopefully today we don't find out anymore because yesterday their number changed, and we hope it doesn't change again today. And we hope that levels off, you know, for a time, and they can go ahead and just focus on playing the games. But it's not a good place to be in. You know, you did the things to get things started, and you felt like you're going to have some confidence, and you go out within a week of starting, you have all this happening. And so it's a tough spot to be in. It really is. But hopefully with the commissioner speaking out, because you're the one that accused him of never really speaking, the thing that he spoke quite forcefully about what the result would be if the players didn't bring it back in line. And basically, he put it on them. It's up to you if this is going to work. And, you know, they got to grasp it and they got to understand it. You know, it's up to them for it to work. They can't put them in a bubble like these other sports that we're watching right now.
Again, Joe Patrick came on and he used the phrase mixed messages. I'm paraphrasing a bit here, but there's conflicting signals coming out of the commissioner's office. Yeah, he saying he wants to shut it down if these guys don't adhere to the protocol, but then on the other side he says, we're playing, not a quitter. And this was one day after the other when this was you just don't know. And this comes down to, in this case, in baseball's case, bubble or not, these guys are acting, the young players are acting like this not that big a deal. I don't know that they feel that way, but that's the way their actions are coming across. And it's frustrating to baseball fans. It seems like when the game is going on, despite no fans, despite, you know, you got the technology making it sound like it's a real game and virtual fans, digital fans out in the stands and all that sort of, with the exception, by the way, you remember all that good fortune I got earlier when I was telling that Baltimore story about my wife working at Inner Harbor? At that restaurant, I was making points that way. I'm about to lose them.
Oh, no, don't do that,
so,
man.
So this past week, I don't know if anybody else seen it, she gets the Detroit Tigers games. This is the Detroit Tigers, right? One of the most storied franchises in Major League Baseball. Everybody else is piping in music. Everybody else seems to be doing something. Got the cutouts in the stands, right?
Right.
When she puts on these Tiger games, it's like in the background, I start, there's nothing. It's like as if C-SPAN is putting on a baseball game.
Why?
They got no cardboard cutouts. They got no sound. They got no, you know, nothing that makes you feel like somebody just got a base hit on the Tigers or somebody just made a great catch, which you get in all the other games.
Yeah.
For whatever reason. Why not? I don't know. Maybe that staff member got let go that hits the buttons up there that does the widescreen or does the sound effects. Because there is no, and it's driving her crazy, too. Tiger fans got to be going nuts with this. It's the only stadium I've seen where they haven't had that ambient noise that makes you feel like it's a game. And it ain't like they can't afford it. They're a major league team, right? We're not talking about the Mud Hens here. So and no, that's very frustrating.
I don't understand why they don't have that.
I don't either. But this speaking of Detroit, though, and you were talking about the Cardinals earlier, we are going to see our first, is it seven-inning doubleheader? That's how they're doing the doubleheaders. Because the Cardinals are going to Detroit. They're going to start the series on Tuesday, but over three games, they're going to play. Over 3 days, they're going to play four games. And one of them is going to be a doubleheader one day, and you got all this stuff. Listen, it's the goalpost continue to be moved. That analogy is what's going on with Major League Baseball. And it's frustrating to a lot of people. And you put all this in a blender. You got the protocol in place. Major League Baseball, okay, they did their thing. But you know you see these players still high-fiving and bumping into each other, and they're in the dugout and so on and so forth. And we know that's how you're going to catch it. They know that. They don't seem to care.
Yeah,
and as we heard
I was watching yesterday. The guys are doing some different things when they come in and get home runs. And after the end of the game, Freddie Freeman, who everybody on the Braves team know what he's had to deal with, he takes his cap off and like, everybody take your cap, and we're just gonna bump caps. Just tip your cap, and we're gonna bump your cap. You know, I mean, just doing something different to remind them, hey guys, let's not do this. You know, as one of the veterans on the team and someone who has personally experienced COVID-19. So hopefully that's all it takes for the Braves to look at Freddie, know what he's been through, look at his example. And to me, that ought to draw everybody in line, I would think. You don't have to say anything. You know what this guy went through.
You know, I just don't know. I mean, I have my opinions. I have my thoughts. I want to see baseball. So this is not somebody who's get off my lawn. I'm just, you know, I don't want to see him go through this. But then, and by the way, here's the other thing too. While you're doing all this, and we understand that this is something that's special this year and the changes that you've made, they're talking about keeping some of this stuff. And how do you feel about that? You know, it's in place right now to end next year, but what about the DH? You want that to stay?
I think the DH is going to stay.
Now see that.
I think it stays because today's pitcher is not a good hitter, and they don't put the emphasis on it. Go back out to East Cobb. Go back out to East Cobb. The guys are pitching. They're making them put emphasis on pitching. They don't care if he can hit his weight or not. And, you know, that's what they're teaching them out there at Lake Point and whatnot. Just pitch. And so you don't have those guys who were those complete – they were pitchers, but they were complete baseball players, you know, and they look for their opportunity to come to the plate. A lot of these guys now coming up, great pitchers, want nothing to do with hitting. They really don't. Mm-hmm. And so that's, I think it's here to stay.
Well, you know what? I'm actually with you. I was never one of those people who felt strongly about the DH. If they move it to the National League, fine. One way or the other, that's cool. I'm about what's going to happen next with this sport. And as it's starting to play out now because of the pandemic, and they have to make these changes, but now that these changes are in place, can we get past the people and those who use the phrase the integrity of the game, the traditionalists, the Bob Costases and the Obermans? You guys go sit in the corner, and the days of what you grew up watching are done with. I want to see more bat flips, okay? I don't have a problem with DHs, okay? I don't have a problem with if the changes that are being made right now because of the virus as one thing. But anything that you can bring from the Latin game or the Asian game or wherever else they're playing baseball and incorporate it here that keeps me in front of the TV, I like I hated it last night because it was Luke Jackson, but I don't mind the relief pitchers having to have to face three batters. I got no problem with that at all. So make some changes, and if it stinks, rid of it.
I like the runner in the in extra
that
innings.
Too.
I like the runner in extra
go.
Innings. I
like
that
too. Like that.
You know, I think that adjusts your roster. I think you want to have somebody with some speed in one of those spaces instead of an umpteenth relief pitcher. Have somebody that with some versatility on your roster and somebody with some speed that you can designate and put in that game, and so that a base hit gets you the winning run.
And instead of having to get it possibly brings hit, back right? Another part of the game that's gone. We've talked about stealing bases.
Base stealing. You know, so that's my kind of baseball. Bring back some baseball where those things are involved and in place that makes the games more exciting and more fun.
Yeah, but the, you know,
I'm with you
using the phrase that we're doing this keeping the integrity of the game. There's your integrity of the game right there. You can bring that right back up. You got to move forward. You're gonna bring. You lost a whole generation because you started games at midnight. You know, let's get some people back and that next generation caring about, you know, this sport. That's just us. Listen, you want to switch gears here for a minute and get talk about what's going on down in Orlando, that NBA bubble? We got a guy that
we're gonna talk to somebody in the bubble. I haven't spoken to anybody in the bubble. Have you spoken?
No, but we're about to. Sean Powell's going to join us next.
Yes.
It's Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 929 The Game, 929TheGame.com. Check us out on the radio.com app and all your devices, including smart speakers. Sports Radio 929 The Game, 929TheGame.com. It is Sam and Greg, 6 a.m. to 10 every Sunday morning. Check us out on the radio.com app, all your devices, including smart speakers. Mr. Crenshaw, are you ready? We're going uncharted territory inside the bubble.
Ooh,
get your goggles on.
This is going to be ready.
Introduce our guest.
All right, man. Hey, I've been waiting to talk to somebody who's in there, and this is a guy who's on the inside with the NBA and is joining us now on the waitfor.com hotline from the bubble in Orlando. Sean Powell from NBA.com. Good morning, Sean.
Morning, Sean.
How you doing?
I'm doing great, guys. I just want to let you know I have not been tested yet today, but that's coming because I've been tested every day. That's the one thing about inside the bubble that's quite different from the outside.
Well, Sam, let me just jump in here real quick. You brought this up, Sean. When you say it like that, is that something that's unique that you haven't been tested by 9 a.m. or it's a daily process? And if you could, take a second and explain to our audience what it's been like since, you know, how you got in and what you've done as far as the testing since you've been inside.
Well, when I arrived here, I was never tested for COVID-19. And since I've been here, I've been tested every day. When I arrived, I had to spend the first 7 days here in quarantine, and that means I could not leave my room. Not just to step outside, you know, just look at the sunshine and yawn and maybe take a walk around the hotel. No, that means stay in your room for seven straight days. And I don't know if you've been confined to a 12 by 18 foot space in your life, but once you step out of that after 7 days, I mean, it's like you're discombobulated. You know, you're walking around in a daze because your body hasn't had any kind of exercise, hasn't had any kind of extended movement. So that was really the big adjustment. Since then, it's been pretty much a piece of cake. I have to get tested every morning. I usually get tested right around this time, but of course, I had to be on this show, and I said, "Wow, I think I'm going to delay that because, you know, you guys are great." And you get a swab up the nose and one in your mouth every day, and your temperature is recorded daily, and you have to do that. If you don't, you have a sort of like an electronic wristband, and that will let everybody know that you haven't been tested because you have to you need the wristband to get into the games and the practices. So when the wristband doesn't register a green light, that means you need to go back and take care of your business. So I've been green-lighted every day, and I'm thankful and blessed that I'm healthy, I'm safe, and everyone here is healthy and safe.
Well, first of all, we can't thank you enough for missing your test. I'm sure you just kind of postponed it a little bit to come on and be with us. And, boy, you said so many things that I want to ask you about. But the one question I'm sure that everybody's asking, you're saying you're getting tested every day. When do those results come back from each day?
Yes. You can get tested really any time, but it's recommended you get tested before you really get your day started. So I usually get tested on my way for breakfast. That way I don't forget. The one day I didn't, and I almost missed my test because they stopped testing at midnight. So I think I made it with about 20 minutes to spare. That was scary. But yeah, I mean, it's a unique setup. Just on how everything is done and how smoothly it's run. The NBA has had no positive tests among the players and coaches, and that shows that the bubble's working. And I think you have one other question.
No. Actually, and forget about that, because I'm not sure if you answered my first one. And forgive me, Sam. I know you want to jump in here. We're talking to Sean Powell, who's down in the NBA bubble, joining us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. What I wanted to know is, from your daily tests that you're administered, when do you get the results back? How long does it take for you to find out what your test is?
Yeah, you can find out within the hour, actually. It's that fast.
Really?
It has to be, because they don't want to take any chances. In other words, if you take a test, or if, say, LeBron James takes a test, or Anthony Davis, or Kawhi Leonard, anybody takes a test, and they don't get the results in a quickly and timely manner, then the whole system is sort of broken. So the whole thing is designed for testing and a very quick result, so that you can get green-lighted to that day's activity. And really, you're green-lighted until the next time you do take a test. And it's a 24-hour sort of system here.
Spending time on the waitforit.com hotline. Folks, I hope you're enjoying hearing this conversation from someone who's actually on the inside of the bubble with the NBA in Orlando. Sean Powell from NBA.com joining us. Sean, first of all, talk about the games. Are you actually able to go and attend the games, or what exactly do you have access to?
Yeah, Sam, that's a good question. There are 22 teams here, which is unique. You know, this is the first time in my professional life that I've had so many teams, you know, in one place. I mean, it's sort of like the NBA Summer League, but of course, even though, you know, all the teams are represented during the Summer League, they're not regular players. They're free agents, rookies, and what have you. Here it's unique because I can go to, say, the Houston Rockets practice at noon, and then I can do the Memphis Grizzly practice at 2 o'clock. And then later on that day, I can watch the New Orleans Pelicans play the Los Angeles Clippers again. So you have a schedule where some teams are playing games, and those teams that are not playing games, those teams are practicing. So it's really a smorgasbord of basketball. I mean, for someone like me, who's a reporter, I mean, I'm just really in hoop heaven, because I have my choice. I can just basically bounce around and do a lot of different things. I can interview players at practice, keeping the social distance, of course, and I can go to games. And, you know, they have to have it this way because they have to finish the schedule in a timely manner. I mean, we're talking, you have 8 seeded games. That's what all teams are playing. And once the 8 seeded games are done, that will determine the 16 playoff teams. And that'll start sometime in the next week and a half.
Spending time on the waitforit.com hotline with Sean Powell, just talking about things there in the bubble, NBA. And, you know, we're watching the other sports, that baseball, they're having their problems. Football is trying to wrap their brains around something that works, because they're not able to do a bubble like this. Thoughts about, if you had a chance to even peep at any of the other sports and know some of the things that they're dealing with, knowing that you're in an environment that's safe.
Well, the difference between the other sports and the NBA is that the NBA teams, players, coaches, all the teams are confined to one space. There's no travel. There's no contact with the outside world. As a matter of fact, you really can't even leave the campus unless there's a family emergency. And so far, I think there's been maybe about a dozen, not even that, maybe a half dozen examples where players have had to leave campus. But when you leave campus and when you come back, you have to do quarantine all over again. So basically, but the way the ecosystem is set up here, it's really geared towards success. And when you look at baseball, I mean, those players are getting on planes, they're going back home, they're coming in contact with people from the outside on a daily basis. I'm sure they're doing their best to, you know, wear a mask and you know, social distance and all that. But still, all it takes is one player, you know, one coach, you know, one gentleman, whatever, to come in contact with someone who's, who has the coronavirus, and then everything sort of breaks down, or at least it's harmed. And that's something that I think you see in baseball. Hockey is pretty much like the NBA, you know, where the teams are sort of confined. And the NFL, meanwhile, I think they're just sort of sitting back and taking notes. But still, I mean, you're talking about, what, 70 players, 75 players per NFL team, something like that. You're talking about all those teams, you know, getting on planes and things like that. It really has to, in order for something like this to work, it has to be in a confined space. You can't have travel. You know, players and teams have to be in one place. I just don't see how baseball can do that. The players voted that down, and I don't see how the NFL can do that.
Yeah, we should have had you on the show earlier, Sean. Sean Powell joining Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. We've been talking about that all morning. Listen, before, on a lighthearted side of this, you guys obviously are following what's going on outside the bubble. And when one of the players went sideways earlier this week, what was the conversation surrounding what happened with Lou Williams amongst you guys?
Well, you know, look, I mean, there's a lighter side to this, you know.
Yes.
Because of where he ended up and why he was there. And, you know, Magic City is a fabled place in NBA circles. You know, I'm sure quite a few NBA players have passed through there, not necessarily for the food. So everybody, you know, knew what the deal was. It was sort of, again, it was sort of, you know, met with some humor. You have to laugh at something like that. But at the same time, the players here and the coaches here are really taking this seriously because they want to play these games. They want to get to the playoffs. They want to get paid, and they want a champion. And it was a little bit shocking that someone like Lou Williams, who's been in the NBA 15 years, it's not like this guy's a rookie now, you know, who would have that sort of lapse in judgment. I'm sure his teammates were, well, they, publicly they were supportive. Privately, probably they felt something else. Lou Williams, he missed the first game when they lost to the Lakers, and he missed the next game when they beat the Pelicans. So he should be eligible for the Clippers' next game. The Clippers are in the playoffs, so the bottom line is Lou Williams' absence in the big picture, you know, wasn't harmful. He'll be ready for the playoffs. But it's just that lapse of judgment, I think, that disappointed a lot of people.
Yep. Spending some time on the waitfor.com hotline. Sean Powell, he's at the NBA bubble in Orlando, keeping an eye on the games. Well, let's talk some basketball. Who has impressed you so far, and have you seen any surprises as far as the games once they've got started?
Well, we've only played a few games. I have to say that, you know, really the drama is all about the eighth and final playoff spot in the West, since for the most part, 15 of the other 16 teams who are in playoff position, they pretty much clinched the playoff spot. So it's really just about shuffling the order, who's going to finish in first place, second place, third place. And to be honest with you, that doesn't matter anymore because there's no home court advantage. Used to be, if you had the best record in the NBA, you would have home court advantage throughout the playoffs. Well, too bad for the Lakers and Milwaukee Bucks. They're not going to enjoy the comforts of home. It's pretty much a neutral court for everybody. No fans allowed. So the drama is really about the last playoff spot in the West, that eighth spot where the Memphis Grizzlies are being chased by the Portland Trail Blazers, the New Orleans Pelicans, the Spurs, Phoenix Suns, you know, teams like that. I would have to say what has surprised me is that Zion Williamson, who did have to leave the bubble for 15 days, he's really not in shape, and they're controlling his minutes, and I think that's going to cost the Pelicans. I don't think they're going to be in the playoffs. I'd say the team that sort of surprised me is probably the Portland Trail Blazers. They started out with a bang. They beat Memphis Grizzlies in overtime. That was a big game because they're chasing Memphis. And they seem to be motivated. Damian Lillard, you know, C.J. McCollum, you know, they're healthy. They've got Carmelo Anthony. Zach Collins is back. Yusuf Nurkic is back. Both those players were injured pretty much all season. So I would say the Blazers have a sense of urgency more than any of the other teams here.
Sean, before we let you go, we just have a minute or so here. You have access to the coaches, right, on each of these teams? Quickly,
absolutely.
I mean, we're going to ask you to do a favor for Sam and I. Would you, when you see Doc Rivers, tell him for Sam Crenshaw and for Greg Clarkson two Atlanta broadcasters. He knows Sam is just a legend here. And I go back to Doc. We went to the same church, Second Baptist Church in Maywood. Congratulations on passing Red Auerbach. Would you give him that congratulations from Sam and I, please?
And he'll know what I'm talking about.
He'll know exactly. Well, he passed Red Auerbach on the all-time list with his last victory. And he knows Sam Crenshaw because Sam is a legend here. And Doc played here in Atlanta, and he knows me from when we were kids in Maywood, Illinois. So we, two broadcasters in Atlanta, would like to congratulate him on sending that message.
I'll definitely pass that along.
And he will smile. He will smile from ear to ear that you did that for him. So
Okay.
We want to get that in before you left. But listen, man, we can't thank you enough. Please go get tested and stay safe, and we look forward to hearing from you again soon.
Hey, it's a pleasure being on your show, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thanks a lot, Sean. That is Sean Powell, man. NBA.com, inside the bubble. Man, you know he's reminding me of them brothers that wear them ankle bracelets.
It is what it almost,
that's what it almost sounds like, man.
He's Uncle Junior from The Sopranos. We're going to wrap things up in just a minute with some upcoming sports. Maybe Jaheel jump in here with us, too. It's Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 929 The Game, 929TheGame.com. Check us out on all your devices, including smart speakers. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9TheGame.com. Sam and Greg, good morning, Georgia.
Morning.
Check us out on the Radio.com app and all your devices, including smart speakers. Earlier in the show, we were talking about the John Lewis service in this past week and the people who performed at it and our thoughts about it. And normally, and it's unfortunate that we've done this, but normally we have every week, we have mentioned some of the people we lost in the previous week. And jeez, it's just mind-boggling. But this past week, and of course it happened on the same day as this funeral, spent some time here. He lived here in Atlanta, was Herman Cain, who passed away, yeah. 74 years old. It's speculated on where he caught the COVID-19, we lost Herman, a voice, not only as a broadcaster, but a presidential run. Did you
and
know Herman?
Also, a highly successful businessman.
Was it Godfather's?
Yes.
Like that pizza.
Yes. Godfather's Pizza was a highly successful businessman, and you know, I only encountered him a couple of times, but he's one of those guys that if you knew he was good at something, he'd let you know it. You know,
yes.
I mean, he had a good singing voice. He could sing.
Really?
Okay. Oh yeah. He had a very good singer. As a matter of fact, I believe he has a recording, actually, of gospel songs. So he's you know, just a versatile person. And I think he's one of those folks that if I got a talent, I'm going to let you sample my talent. And, you know, and I think that's just how he lived things. And opportunities came his way. And so, yeah, I just to encounter him on a couple of occasions, and very sad. You know, to lose him at the time, mm-hmm. obviously, and but to lose him in that way.
74 years old. Been in the hospital. He was in the hospital for a while, and there was a lot of speculation on was he still with us or not. But anyway,
And there was speculation because, you know, somebody else manages his social media, so his social media was still putting things out. You know, the people whoever was employed to do that. Well, obviously, it wasn't him doing it himself, you know. So
listen, we ended last week or during the show, we were talking about Regis, and I mean, it started right away. Last living, you know, star from the movie Gone with the Wind, Olivia de Havilland.
She was a part of one of the big moments or nights in this city's history. That movie debuted here in Atlanta, and all of the characters were here at the old Lowell's Grand Theater that burned and they didn't rebuild it. But that's where that movie debuted here in Atlanta. That's one of the big nights. And one of the last cast members of Gone with the Wind.
Malik B, lost him this past week.
The Roots.
Yeah. Alan Parker. The one that, and it was the first one I thought about when we came on because it was most recent, but Wilford Brimley. Beloved old actor. Most people remember him from most notably Cocoon, the movie about the old folks' home. Mm-hmm. Wilford Brimley was doing commercials for people of that age. But here's the craziest thing about Wilford Brimley that I heard a stat. And I looked it up, and it was crazy. When Wilford Brimley, if you can remember him from the movie Cocoon, again, all old folks, right?
Yeah.
Don Ameche and the rest of them.
Hugh Cronin.
Yeah,
Jessica,
yes.
Jessica Tandy. Yeah.
When Wilford Brimley starred in that movie, he was 5 years younger than Tom Cruise was in his last Mission Impossible movie.
Whoa.
Now sit on that for a second. Tom Cruise was 56 when he made the last Mission Impossible a few years ago. Wilford Brimley was only 51.
Wow.
When he made Cocoon.
He just seemed like he was an older guy.
Anyway. It's been a crazy week, and I need to clarify something because I got one of them texts coming to do as we talk about baseball today and the Braves get started at 1:10 today. The Tigers' first doubleheader is actually today. That's because they had to postpone yesterday, but they postponed yesterday's game against Cincinnati.
Yeah, so they are playing today. I wonder who corrected you.
Yeah, wonder who, in capital letters. But the other one is, of course, going to be Wednesday. They're playing that doubleheader with.
Hey, Greg, we need to tell some people to be cautious. I know we're getting close to school starting, and people trying to get out of town, maybe to get a little time, and maybe trying to go down toward the beach. We got a storm coming.
Yeah, we do.
You know, we got a hurricane that's due to between sometime tomorrow, I think, really touch the Georgia coastline. So if you're going down that way, just be considerate about that. The fact that it's going to come up and just go right up through South Carolina. People up in North Carolina are getting prepared for it as well. So just remember, if you're going to hit the road, you might want to check your weather, check the people down there, make sure that whatever it is you're going to, that it's going to be open and going to be available with this storm expected to come right up the coast. So just a little word of warning for you before you hit the road.
I mean, you got all those islands down there that are still trying to come back from last year's hurricanes.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, that was the one thing when I used to work down there, I was just amazed at the resiliency of those islands. And you see the money that's pumped in there, and you wonder why the local housing isn't in better condition. And it occurred to me, it seems like every 10 years or so, or maybe in some cases more, they just keep getting slapped around by hurricanes.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
One of the good news is there are not. I don't know if there's none or minimal amount of cruise ships out there now because they had to shut down during this pandemic.
Right.
There might be a few out there, but for the most part, that industry's, not happening either.
I mean, they're just trying to get back going. Just like out at Hartsfield Jackson, Atlanta Airport, the number of flights is gradually increasing. But, man, it was down to so little. And if you go down to the south side, sometimes it's odd to look in the sky and not see that string of planes just constantly taking off and landing. Hadn't been that. I mean, the airport did meet the press a couple of weeks ago, to let people know that more of the restaurants and more of the shops on the concourses are reopening as more flights, go in. And those are, and Greg, those are jobs. People who are able to go back to work now. The flights, we think that is the biggest employer in the state when we think about the airport. And so just the lifeblood of our community and where we live. So you talk about the cruise lines, just the travel industry, and how it's really, really, really had a stranglehold put on it by this pandemic.
You said that. I was thinking about the film industry, and this is statewide. So you you talk about the airport, that's Atlanta. But when you talk about statewide and the impact it's had on the state of Georgia not being up and running. I mean, I was giving that number out. That was 2018 numbers was $9.5 billion. It was close to that in 2019, but that completely shut down. But one of the things that we have been talking about, because Sam and I, every opportunity we get to let you know about job opportunities, whether it's, you know, some sort of program connected with a college that will eventually get you on a crew in NASCAR working that way, or whatever it is that, you know, comes from his side of the fence. I usually occupy the other side with the film industry and the jobs there as an extra or behind the camera. Well, the extra jobs are not there right now. Though there are some productions that are up and running, a lot of them, you know, most of them are either reality shows or ones that just don't need extras. Tyler Perry.
So the court TV shows are not back up?
I haven't checked on those.
Come on, about the court shows,
I know you love them. But see, you can't even go over and see those. But you can't, you're not sitting next to somebody and watching those shows, and they may do them without an audience. Hey, I tell you what I just got news from.
What's
Steve
that?
Harvey's bringing Family Feud back to Atlanta.
Really?
He had his talk show got canceled.
Okay.
He moved out to L.A. when he had both of those going, but the talk show's gone. And so he's bringing Family Feud back without an audience to Atlanta.
Wow.
Eventually it will have an audience, like the court shows that you talked about. Earlier, when I was doing the casting call, which really isn't a casting call, it's more of an industry call, I was letting you, those of you who have a skill set that might lend itself to being on a crew, talk to Jahi and Sam earlier. I asked you guys, what, if any, job would you be good at if you were to be on a movie crew? You didn't want to get in front of the camera. Sam, you mentioned you want to be a driver. That's a good job.
Yeah, man.
It's a good, you have the greatest conversations with the biggest stars, and they just, you know, you sit in there. I've been in some of these vans where I'm quiet sitting in the back and listening to the star talk to the driver, and that driver is in seventh heaven because, you know, this A-list actor or that A-list actress is having a conversation with him. Jahi, what was yours again? Forgive me for forgetting.
No, it's all right. It's audio. Doing like audio engineering.
Okay, yes. And there's a need for that. And so, again, I walk you through how to find the jobs that are being posted by the industry or throughout the industry on Georgia.org. And so you go to our website, 929thegame.com. You click on menu and then go down to blogs, and then you'll find Casting Call with Greg Clarkson. But it is labeled as Industry Call. I kind of put it up there a week or two ago, and it's still relevant. So you can start there. And for those of you who unfortunately lost your job when this pandemic hit, or looking, if you're just looking to make a change, there's an opportunity for you there. Hey, listen, was I a little bit thirsty there trying to reach out and get a thank you to Doc Rivers for both of us through Sean?
Oh, no, man.
I'm an opportunist, like, man, you know?
Whoa.
I'm an opportunist. And that wasn't a bad thing. Wasn't like we were asking for his phone number, which I already have. But I'm saying, this is the time you reach out to him. There's old folks there, and you know, or meaning his old friends or old acquaintances. Do you remember him through Marquette days or when he first landed here with the Hawks?
No, just when he landed here. When he landed here with the Hawks. Now, you know him pre-Marquette.
Yeah, much like you said about Herman Cain, when he would tell you if he was good at something, that was Doc coming up.
Yeah.
he knew he was, you know, Aguirre and Isaiah had already left the West Side. Dwayne Wade hadn't popped yet, and Doc knew that he was the dude coming out of Chicago or the Chicagoland area. And you got to have that attitude. And he took it to Marquette and took it to the Hawks, and God bless him. Hey, what are you most looking forward to this upcoming week, man?
Oh, man, just watching more. I hope we keep baseball going. We want to see more baseball. I'm enjoying this basketball from bubble, and I think that's been fantastic to watch. Just want to see more of it, man. It's great sports is here. Go out to some high school practices, and we get some college practices going, and see what the next step is along the road to cranking up the season, if that's going to happen. That's what we're looking for this week.
Jahi, what are you keeping your eye on for for next week's HBCU update, if anything?
I want to see if the MEAC actually has a plan to play in the spring, and I want to see what SWAC's plan is. I would like to see them try to see them announcing something like the the Celebration Bowl or anything like that going on, or the Bayou Classic. So we'll see if that happens.
All right. I'm just enjoying the fact that these guys are trying their best, guys meaning the various sports, to make you feel like there's people in the stands and popcorn's popping, and it's like a regular game, even though at some angles you see that there's nobody there, but they're doing their best to make it sound like there is. And the same thing, we didn't ask Sean this when we had him on, but the same thing with the NBA in the bubble. You know, I was looking, you know, you look at some of the shots, guys are taking free throws and they got the virtual fans in the stands trying to, you know, get his attention and make him miss the free throw. So they, yeah, they've done everything down there that they possibly can. Let's just hope that those who feel like they're bulletproof kind of start to adhere to the protocol and make everybody feel like you guys are all on the same page trying to get past this craziness.
That's what we're hoping for. Watch it for, yeah, see if they do it. I think they will. Now that we're playing games, I think they keep their focus.
All right, man. Listen, you guys have a safe week. Mr. Crenshaw, you and I will be obviously talking about GE2. And for the rest of you, stay safe. Enjoy the sports. Have a wonderful, wonderful week. And we will be back here next Sunday morning, 6 a.m. to 10. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.